This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. Back on the show, Big Friday. Now, we can't say it's a big football Friday because we're not going to sit here and waste your time and talk in a serious manner about flag football, because that's what's happening on Sunday, and it's on our mothership, I understand. Watch it, enjoy it, whatever the case may be, but we're not going to break it down next Friday, though. That's a big football Friday. We make our final picks, and we'll break down all week the upcoming Super Bowl next Sunday. But today, the big story is Kyrie Irving, who has requested a trade from the Nets. He wants that trade executed by next Thursday, which is the NBA trade deadline. The reason for that is obviously a selfish one, because that's what Kyrie's all about. And the selfishness is this. If he's traded at the trade deadline, then his bird rights will go to the team that traded for him. And then that keeps open the possibility of getting a max contract. Now, Bobby Marks, a former GM, actually with the Nets, and now the expert on contracts for ESPN, just tweeted out that Kyrie is definitely a max player, but he added on a year-to-year basis. Right. So you give him $50 million, play for it, give him another $50 million. He said he doesn't see a team out there that would give a 3 to 4 year contract, and he said even a 2 year max in terms of money would be a stretch for a team to do. So anybody who is advising Kyrie that's out there, they're not telling him the truth, although maybe he's making up his own truth. And one other thing, the team that he's on now, I think has a better chance to win a championship than any team he might go to, and that includes the Lakers. The Lakers don't have a great bench. Now, they have LeBron and they have AD, so I'm sure you have a shot, but here's the deal. If I'm the Nets, I'm not trading him anywhere, because you're not going to get equal value for the talent. And then if he threatens to sit, what he's doing, he's tanking his own value to get any kind of deal. And the way he could make his value skyrocket is if he plays and plays hard and they actually do win a couple of rounds in the playoffs, then people, as Mike Tannenbaum just said, they'll ignore the other stuff and they might be seduced by it. But if he wants to sit, let him crater his value. If I'm the Nets, I am not trading him unless there's something that just blows me away.
And no offense to Mike, but like his approach wouldn't work with Kyrie. You know, go out there, win a championship is the best thing for you. He had a chance this year with a really good Net team, and he still, you know, messes it up by the tweet and now asking for a trade. Like, so I don't know if he responds to these things. He's got enough people around him who think that he's going to get the money that he wants. So, Michael, if he's convinced of that, then, yeah, he might sit out. Because the same people might be telling him, don't worry, just sit out, and then when you become a free agent at the end of the year, everybody's going to want you. And maybe he does. Maybe he wouldn't mind a year-to-year thing. All right, I'll take $50 million for 1 year. And then we'll see what happens the next year. I mean, but he's still going to get a ton of money no matter what.
Sure, the Nets offer that. He is all about him, and he wants the max five-year deal.
But it's also what's part of it, guys. And, again, we get sucked in like a fish on a hook that, yeah, he could do that, but if he keeps quiet and just puts his head down and plays, then nobody's talking about it. All right, so now it becomes a major deal. I think there's a part of him just loves that shows are opening with this, that this will be on the back page of the paper. He just loves that drama. By just agreeing to a contract or not saying anything, just playing until you become a free agent, that's too simple. It doesn't get a lot of attention. And unfortunately, you know, we found this out when LeBron didn't play in Brooklyn the other day. You know, because it's not a sexy thing to play in Brooklyn against the Nets. It's sexy to play the Knicks at the Garden, even though the Nets are better. So is it killing him there? That these are the things he has to do to keep his attention going, because just playing great basketball in Brooklyn's not enough.
This is about money. This is about money. He's selfish.
But he's costing himself money by doing this. If he just kept his mouth shut, killed it this year, helped the Nets win a championship, there'd be a mint on the other side of the rainbow. If it was all about the money, that was the best destination to that money.
But as Stephen A. told us at 4 o'clock, he had said at the beginning of the year to people, I'm not staying with the Nets under no circumstance. The only way he was going to stay, and then he would probably ask to be traded, just like KD did, was to get the max contract because this is the place where he could get it. And when they told him to take a walk, pretty much said, I'm good. That's when he said, well, I want to go somewhere because he wants a max deal. But again,
right.
his stepmom is his agent. She's not giving him good advice because any agent, like from CAA or from Clutch Sports, would tell him, it's not out there, man. But, it's not out there for you the way the path that you've set for yourself and the life that you've lived as a professional player where you've just you're not reliable. You don't play 50% of the time. It's not there.
But why does he want out of Brooklyn? Because they wouldn't give him a max deal?
He probably doesn't like, you know, the dream spot for him didn't turn out to be a dream spot.
Because of him.
Well,
what did the Nets do? What, how did they screw him?
Well, they
I would love to know.
I guess he didn't like the fact that they suspended him over, you know, the tweet about, you know, the anti-Semitic film. I'm sure he didn't like that. I'm sure he didn't like the fact that they played hardball at the beginning and then caved and let him play road games. I mean, that showed that they were spineless. But they've done everything they wanted. They got rid of Atkinson. They got Nash, and they got rid of Nash.
Yeah,
and they have a players coach in Jacques Vaughn. This guy is toxic.
Yeah. I mean, does he think that he would have gotten a better ride someplace else?
No. I think he's had a great ride here.
He almost
had part ownership of the team.
I just think that it's all a way to grab attention. Yeah, he wants his money for sure, but he just cannot help himself. He just loves to be talked about. Because the great thing – and again, I'm not – the way you talk about Kyrie is probably what he loves. Because everything is prefaced by, we know he's smart, and we know how good a player he is. So even when you criticize Kyrie, in this day and age, you still got to pepper it with, he's still so smart, we know he loves the game, he's captivating to watch. Like, you can't help but compliment him while you're killing him. I mean, he's a narcissist. He wants to be constantly talked about. If he just put his head down and played, his play would speak for itself. He'd make tons of money. He'd win more rings. But he just can't help himself.
Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And this guy has burned down the house everywhere he's been, starting in Cleveland, where he didn't want to be second fiddle to LeBron, which is dumb. Because if you're going to be second fiddle to any superstar, the guy to be second fiddle to is LeBron, because he shares the ball more than any big-name player has ever shared the ball that wasn't a point guard. Take a look at Jordan's assists per game, and take a look at LeBron's. It's double. So that was the guy that you want to play second fiddle to. And he probably left championships on the table because of it. Then he went to Boston, and he tried to burn that to the ground, but Danny Ainge is too smart and wouldn't allow it. And then he went to the Nets. Think about what he's done to this Net organization. He is absolutely just put it in flames. And I'm sorry, I think he's a transcendent player. Kevin Durant, he led Kevin Durant by the nose. And what has Kevin Durant gotten out of it? Nothing. Nothing. The guy who dragged him to Brooklyn has left him out to dry.
But that's you. You know, Stephen didn't want to go there, and I get it. You don't want to play pop psychologist, but you really look into the minds of these two individuals. The alpha dog is Kyrie. Like, he's the lead. Like, KD really looks up to him. That's the one
KD,
player that he can't get in the face of. It's crazy.
So KD joins forces with Kyrie when he could have stayed there with Steph Curry,
right,
and he would have three more rings.
But
he put his money in the basket of a guy who's just not reliable. How could he have not known that? Did he see what happened in Boston? Did he see what happened in Cleveland? And he's advised by really good people, and Durant's smart. But this guy has a Svengali quality to him that he got one of the greatest players in the history of basketball to follow him. And you heard what Stephen A. said. No matter what people say, the Knicks wanted both of them. And Kyrie said, let's do our own thing in Brooklyn. Oh, baby, you did your own thing.
And usually when that happens, it's the lesser player follows the better player. And as good as Kyrie is, he's not KD.
Nope.
But like you said, he's got this Svengali thing on him. Or maybe it's just very genuine. Maybe just KD loves the guy and lets him get away with this stuff because he genuinely likes him. But he's killing, Peter, he's killing KD's chances of winning another ring.
Wasting KD's great years that he has left with this guy.
And meanwhile, KD has like done everything he can while he's on the court to just be an incredible player this season. And it's like he's gone for 5 minutes and the whole place is on fire. Like, you couldn't even, you just couldn't hold me down while I was gone. Couldn't
you know
keep
what?
Us together.
Even if he never got hurt, Peter, Irving would still do this. This is about money and about selfishness. They could be like, so when he left, they were 18-2 in 20 games. Let's say, what's he missed, like 9 games? So let's round it out to 30. Let's say that they were 27-3. Kyrie still would have asked for a trade because that's what he's all about. He's not about the team. He's about Kyrie Irving.
They've lost.
And he dragged Kevin Durant to Brooklyn. He dragged him there. And Kevin Durant followed. And I think Don asked a great question. Why isn't Kevin Durant, who's one of the greatest players who ever lived, just stand up and say, enough nonsense, man. You're killing it. You're killing us.
They've lost 7 of 11. I'm trying to see when.
I'm with Steven. I think they've actually done okay without KD. It probably would have been worse.
Okay. No, they've been
four
okay.
4 and 7, I think.
Been okay. 4 and 7, and you know, it could be a lot worse. Obviously, that Boston game was awful, but... But you're right. KD goes away, and then it's hard to feel bad for KD because I think there's something to be done about it. And again, maybe he has done behind closed doors, and he's just trying to be a good teammate, not making it public. But I just have the feeling hey, that's Kyrie. What are you going to do?
Well, now LeBron has joined the fun.
Oh.
So at 4:58, he tweeted out like googly eyeballs and his little crown for king. So he's in.
Yeah, see? It's amazing how, because he's so good and he's so captivating, that people have to react to it. We play right into his game. Don't you feel like you're being used every time we talk Kyrie? And I'm not saying
we
should.
I feel dirty.
But no, I just feel like that we're playing into his game. This is all part of it. Like if everybody just ignored it and didn't care, maybe it wouldn't happen. But every time he does something, it just dominates. Now, granted, there's not a lot going on. You know, we're still a week away from the Super Bowl. As great as the Knicks win was, it's still, you know, February.
Bing bong!
But, you know, this is what, like the 15th time since he's been here where he just does something and it completely controls the narrative in the show. And I have to think that that's his end game. And we follow around and he gets the best player in the world to tweet about it. And everybody's talking about it. 4 guests on a show in New York to talk about it.
Yeah, but I disagree. This isn't about that, Don. He wants to be traded to get his money. Of course, he's one of the great players. He's going to be spoken about it. This is not some move by him so that we could talk about him on 98.7. I don't think it has anything to do with it.
I think it's all part of it because that's all he ever does.
But this is about money.
But if it was about money, Michael, you put your head down and play at the start of the season. Don't retweet garbage.
But he doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe that. He thinks he's so great that he should get a max contract.
But he would have gotten it
50% of the time. He's still worth it.
If he just played and the Nets won a championship, even if they didn't, if he played an MVP caliber basketball this year, didn't get in any trouble at all, everybody would be fawning all of themselves, including the Nets, to give him what he wants financially. Right? The Nets would have given it to him. The Nets probably backed out on any promise they made after what happened on Twitter because he just couldn't help himself again. If he just stayed out of trouble and just played. You don't think the Nets would have given him the max contract?
No, they've learned. They've learned.
I don't know.
Battered and bruised for 4 years. There's no way.
But he still would have gotten a major contract, even if it wasn't with the Nets. You know, it would have been different with the Bird rights, but he would have gotten a massive contract at the end. He can't help himself. He can't. And the whole reason that he is so toxic is because of him. Like, so he is such a great player. If it was just about the money, he wouldn't have to go about it this way. He'd be making a fortune. He'd be a $50 million player if he just never got in any trouble, didn't do anything. LeBron James is political. LeBron James stands for things. But he's never gotten completely out of whack where he just sets fire to his teammates and his team. So I know you say, part of it is about the money, but it's about the money, but also the attention that it garners.
Yeah, I just don't think this has anything to do with that. This is all about money. And if the attention comes, it comes. The other stuff, maybe, but this is about money. Now, he has chosen a new anthem for himself, and it's an old song by Britney Spears.
Oh, it's a good call by you, Mike. I'm surprised you know it, but it's a good call.
Why would you be surprised? Very hip. Let's listen to Britney as she sings about
15 years old if it's a day.
Kyrie Irving. He is toxic. There's no other way to put it, Britt. Wow. Brutal.
I'll tell you what. This song, That song was a, when I was DJing at University of Maryland, when that song was out of control popular, mm-hmm. it was just a guarantee. You could just throw it on and go back, sit back, smoke a cigarette, lean back in the booth, have a good time, have a beverage, because you're good. They loved, women loved that record.
Toxic.
I never even liked it that much. Is that right?
But you played it because you're a pleaser.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a good DJ and you're DJing a club and your goal is not to have women dancing, you have a problem. You're not in the right field. It's like playing basketball and you're like, well, I don't really focus on putting the ball in the basket. I just like to, you know, run in circles. You know what I mean?
Let's go to Alan in Queens. Alan.
Actually, guys, it's Alvin, not Alan.
I'm sorry, okay. Alan. That's
hey, guys,
bad.
How you guys doing? It's all right. Don't worry about it.
We're good. What's up?
Okay, Michael, happy belated birthday, man.
Thank you, my friend.
Listen, I'm sorry to change sports, but this is one of the reasons why I'm Aaron Rodgers, man. It sounds just like something Aaron Rodgers will do. Like, listen, we give him everything we want. You know, we give him the picks. We give him the four-year deal, whatever, whatever. And then year one comes, and boom, he wants to trade. He wants whatever.
But here's the difference. He answers the bell.
Yeah.
He plays all the time. He had a broken finger, played the entire season.
Michael, he was so red hot that they drafted Love and didn't get him a wide receiver. He went out and won back-to-back MVPs. So he's not Kyrie. He's nozzly. He'll say things to get attention. But like you said, he shows up. Now, Peter makes a good point. I don't know what goes on inside that room. I don't know how his teammates feel about him and all that. So maybe it was somewhat destructive, some of the things he's done off the field. But the biggest controversy with him, he hated the organization. Red hot, they didn't draft a wide receiver and went out and won back-to-back MVPs. And then this year played with an injured thumb and would be one of the top five quarterbacks of all time in Jet history for a season with the awful numbers he had last year. So it doesn't affect them on the field.
There's levels of nozzle in this world. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a noz. None of us, no, I don't like disrespecting noz when I say it as a negative term like that, but he's a noz.
But the noz you're saying is N-O-Z.
It's N-O-Z.
He's a great artist.
Right. It's N-O-Z.
Right.
That, wow, good job.
I'm really surprising you, huh?
Yeah.
Or he just has a very low bar for you, Mike.
Very low bar, but
I think it was the steak and cake.
By the way, you know who Nas is playing at MSG?
When?
February 24th.
Why don't the two of us go?
Oh, because the I'm told that the ESPN tickets are all accounted for. No one, and I was not invited. What are your thoughts, Don?
Me, I have no interest.
No, not for you.
I'll get us in.
Oh no, they should go. I mean, I don't know why two of the biggest names at the station wouldn't be able to.
You're missing the point. You checked out on me. You petered me. You just petered me. Is what you did.
What did I do?
You checked out halfway through the sentence and didn't understand the point I was conveying.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. He doesn't even know what we're talking about.
He's talking about Nas is playing at the Garden on the 24th.
Right, but I'm not referring to me and Michael's status at the station. I'm referring to like who I am and what my life is that I wouldn't know and say, hey, you want to see Nas? I'm told that the ESPN tickets are all accounted for. And I was not invited.
What are your thoughts, executives of the station think you do updates?
No, updates people talk more.
You know, I got a news for you, Donnie. The update's going really well, apparently.
Oh, by the way, after the show yesterday, right?
Oh, okay.
Russo checks in. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was your birthday. I hope I'm not too late. It was 7:05. How's he too late? And he wished me happy birthday because he's a mensch.
No. What he was too late for was to get credit during the show. That's what he was too late for, 7:05.
Which is the whole reason that people like that do wish happy birthdays.
People
you'd be,
like
you'd be
that
amazed
credit.
At, you, I'll tell you guys off the air of some of the people that didn't. Wish me happy birthday.
I want to know right now.
Do I get credit for wishing happy birthday?
If I told you this person, this one person didn't wish me happy birthday, you go, you're lying. And I go, no. It's almost commensurate to Jody not wishing me a happy birthday.
Well, there's only one person I can think of.
I'm not going to tell you, so don't even
guess. No.
Can't be.
Why don't you text it to me?
No. I thought he was... I'm trying to think of the people that you mentioned yesterday that reached out to you.
Right.
No, yeah, because you mentioned... Can I say it?
My sister? Of course not my sister.
Hold on. I'm sorry. You said commensurate to Jody. There's only really one person.
Yep. Well, my sister was very early.
It wasn't her. It wasn't her. Okay.
It was not her. It was not a relative.
All right.
By the way, I just texted you because you said this person on the air, so it's not him, right?
No. Not Mike Breen.
Breen.
No.
That's several texts. Of course.
Yeah.
Who is it?
You said there's another individual you said
I can't tell the audience because I don't want to start a fight. Well, Cone didn't, but that's not.
It's above Cone level.
All right, here. So I'm going to text it, and you tell me.
Was it a Charger?
No, a Raven.
It was a Ram.
There you go. You see it?
Really?
Are you shocked?
I'd be concerned.
So yeah, I am.
I think you got to.
I don't even want to joke.
I was going to guess that one. I think you got to give him a pass.
Really?
No. Well, you got to find out when something happened. Like, that would be my knee jerk. Not that he forgot. You would think, all right, something may have happened.
Well, the thing may have happened that it happened is just age. Well, it happens.
No. Anyway, you know who's coming on next? Okay, he didn't wish me happy birthday either. Frank Isola, although I love him.
Really? He was at your wedding.
I know.
Wow.
Oh, that's, you know what? Well, I'm good.
You're not going to partake?
So you're saying
the only thing I'm going to partake in is to scold him for not texting you.
So what you're saying,
and then I'm out.
Well, so what you're saying, Don, is that, I mean, Michael, is that Isola's name, you should actually replace the I with an A.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'll be here all week, folks. Try the veal.
That was great. Oh, boy. All right, towel off, and we'll talk to Frank Isola in just a moment about the Kyrie situation on Yes in 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can I just tell you one thing, Michael?
Yeah.
Is Frank already here?
Yeah, he is.
Make him wait.
Well, he's our friend. He can wait. You can bring him in, actually. You can hear this, too. We were talking about what monsters the people on social media are.
Yeah, yeah.
People heard me talking about a movie I wanted to watch later.
Right.
Someone just sent me the end of the movie. Just tweeted.
Oh, no.
Nice. Don, I'm offended you laughed.
That's the movie Whale, right?
I said, that's not, I was like, ha, that's not nice. Meaning like.
No, it's really mean. That's some real low life. Who does that?
Nauses.
I'd still watch the movie, though. I want to see.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to back off of it. But still, I'm upset by it.
All right,
not as upset as I am at Frank.
Oh well, let's bring in Frank Isola. He's brilliant. He does a great job on the Nets pre and post game show. Nets play tomorrow, 5:30 coverage starts. So that'll be on Yes. Frank, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys doing, Don? If you're going to go after Michael K on social media, stop using your burner account. You know.
Well, why can't you remember my guy's birthday?
Put your name behind it.
I always put my name behind it. But I'm mad at you for forgetting Michael's birthday.
Well, I want to say this really quickly because I heard you guys last week because I listen all the time. I can't tell if you guys are home. I mean, one day you're home, other day you're in the studio. It's hard to keep up. Thing on Gene Hackman was excellent, Don.
Thank you.
Excellent work by you. The final scene in Unforgiven is movie magic, unbelievable acting. And did you know I heard an interview about – Hoosiers, I guess he thought the movie was going to be terrible. He kept complaining about the movie that he didn't think it was going to be good. And apparently when he runs into people, that's the role that most people remember him for.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And so also,
he complimented your list, Don, so you're letting him off the hook. For
yes,
not wishing
completely.
A happy birthday.
That's how easy I can. That's how easy it is.
Today is Michael's 47th birthday.
Still 47, can you believe
it? He's a big star. He's got the whole. Mike, I heard a rumor.
Yeah.
Can you confirm or deny this?
We'll see.
The Yankees are going to London again, correct?
No.
Is that true?
They are not. Not
I
this year.
I thought they were.
Not this year.
Oh, somebody told me that you were going to London to do. Maybe there's a Sunday night baseball game and you're going to be doing the game. Is
Listen,
that true?
Listen, schedules are all fluid right now. Nothing can be spoken about, but the Yankees are not in London.
But you might be going, though.
Don't know. I really
all
don't.
All right. I don't mean to cause any trouble.
No, that's what you're doing.
I had suggestions for guests, but I won't. We'll leave. I'll pick that for another time.
What, like Prince William or something?
That'd be big.
Well, or you know, what's a Kate Winslet would be good. You got to get like some British actresses.
Winslet.
How about Kate Middleton?
Oh, that would be a real. That would be a good get. That would be difficult.
That would be impressive.
That would be very impressive.
Now, I got to tell you, my favorite interview I ever saw with Middleton was the one she did with Buchagross. So you got to try to beat that one.
All right, so Frank, let's get down to brass tacks. What do the Nets do with the great narcissist Kyrie Irving?
I think they're going to do with him probably what they did with Kevin Durant. They'll probably look for a deal that benefits them, and if they don't see that one's out there, they'll say, we tried, but it didn't work. The difference, though, is, you know, the one thing about Kevin Durant, as wacky as the summer was, and I was always convinced of this, once the games were going to start, Kevin Durant was going to be fine. He was going to go out there, he was going to play. Prior to getting hurt, obviously was still one of the best players in the league playing at MVP level. Kyrie could be a little bit different because I think what happened with Kyrie, ever since the 5-game suspension, which turned into an 8-game suspension, since he's returned from that, he's been great. Playing both ends of the court, he gets after it. And I think that in his mind, and I get it, he's thinking, all right, I've proven to you I'm still a great player. Now you have to pay me 4 years, $200 million. And I understand the Nets' point of view. Hang on a second. The three previous years, you didn't do anything. Now that you're on a 1-year deal, you've been great. If I were a team, I only want Kyrie in a 1-year deal. But I get it. If I'm Kyrie and his people, you're going to try to look for a multi-year contract, which is fair because he probably thinks of, look at all these other guys in the league making crazy money. They're not as good as me. But I think the Nets are going to handle it. If they get a deal that they think is good for them, I think they're going to make it. If not, they'll say, let's ride this out. Kevin Durant's coming back. We were a very good team with him. Why can't we make a run this season?
Do you think if the whole Twitter thing early in the season, as you said, the suspension and all, if that didn't happen, do you think the Nets would have been more willing to give him a deal?
I think so. And you got to go back a couple of summers ago, which was probably the most underrated story of the offseason, was that Kevin Durant had signed a 4-year extension, which only kicked in this year. And they went to Kyrie. And I had heard a crazy story where Kyrie said he wanted more money, and they told him, well, that's the most we're allowed to give you under the collective bargaining agreement. There was this whole confusion over that. But it's interesting when you go back to what happened, you know, this was late October, early November. We're all sitting there thinking, does Kyrie Irving have a future in the league? It seems like right now his reputation is at an all-time low. The team has suspended him. It became a national story, obviously. And, you know, he took his medicine, came back and played well. And think about this. When the All-Star voting came out, he got the most votes out of every guard in the Eastern Conference. So whatever happened in October, November didn't affect a lot of the younger fans. They still went out and voted for the guy, and now he's going to be an All-Star starter. So in terms of that, he went from 3 months ago, you're wondering, where is his future, to now he's demanding to get traded, which is kind of crazy.
So who wants him? I mean, LeBron obviously has just tweeted out wide eyes and the king crown. But can the Lakers satisfy the Nets with something of somewhat equal value? I don't see it.
I don't see it either. And, you know, remember, the Lakers were in town last week. I'm sure that, you know, Kyrie and LeBron James had a conversation at some point. You know, to LeBron's credit, he's always working it. He wants to win. There's a bunch of times this year where he's looked miserable out there because I think he looks at the team and realizes this is going to be really difficult to try to make, really go for it this year. But, you know, the money – you could bring back Russell Westbrook, but I don't think the Nets would want to tick off Kevin Durant at all.
Right.
So there could be a deal out there, but I just don't think it's going to work. Russell Westbrook, and remember, the picks that everyone wants from the Lakers are the 27 and 29 unprotected first-round picks that they have. By then, LeBron will likely be gone, but also whatever team acquires those picks, they'll probably be gone. So if I'm Sean Marks, why am I worried about the 27 and 29 first-round picks that I can get back from the Lakers? I'm worried about trying to win now with Kevin Durant on my roster.
What could Phoenix offer him in Dallas?
Well, you know, that's an interesting one because, you know, DeAndre Ayton, you heard his name linked to the Nets, and the Nets could certainly use a player. I would do DeAndre Ayton and campaign if I can get it done, but I don't know if Phoenix would be able to pull that off. You know, there's a lot of teams. Miami's another one. A lot of people say that Mickey Arison, the owner of the team, would not want Kyrie Irving. But if I'm the Nets, am I going to take back Kyle Lowry and Duncan Robinson? It's not really making me better. I think the Nets look at it again. We'll ride it out with Kyrie if we don't get a deal that we like. Because remember, Kyrie still has to play well because he's looking to get a big-time contract. There was a game last week. So if you guys remember, they lost that game to Philadelphia, which was a very good game. The next night, they laid an egg against Detroit. Kyrie came in the game. He went out for 41 seconds, came back in late in the third quarter, played the rest of the game. So in the second night of a back-to-back, Kyrie Irving only sat 41 seconds in the second half. And this is a league where no one plays back-to-backs anymore. So Kyrie wants to prove to everybody that I'm reliable. You could count on me. I want to get paid. And I think the big thing here is the Nets probably said, this is my theory. They said, we're not giving you an extension right now. How are we going to do that? Look what happened the first 3 years. Things are going well for you now. We're not just going to say, yeah, here's your reward for six great weeks of basketball, a four-year or a three-year contract.
You've been around basketball a long time, Frank. We're talking with Frank Isola, Yes Network analyst for the Nets. He has a show on NBA Radio on Sirius XM as well. Have you ever seen one man just systematically torch an organization? Because you know at the end of this year, Kevin Durant's going to want to be traded too. Yeah. Especially if Kyrie is gone. Harden wanted to be traded because he didn't like Kyrie and didn't think Kyrie was all in. And the Nets were doing some good things building a team before these two guys showed up. It's unbelievable what he's done.
It really is. And it's also, again, the last 6 weeks, 2 months with Kyrie, not only has he played great, no one talked about anything else that was happening with him. There was no drama. And he looked like he was enjoying himself. He actually looked like he was having fun. He was being a leader out there. He was playing both ends of the court. He just seems to be one of those guys, when things are going well, there always has to be some kind of conflict or controversy. I get a lot of people going to say he's making a business decision here. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night. You know, they have a game, they have a home game, how the fans are going to react to him. It's going to be a pretty wild scene.
That is a really interesting point you make, though, Frank. Like, you wouldn't have imagined, with how loud the thing was about the anti-Semitism in the movie, it seemed impossible that the noise from that could go away. And yet it did.
Yep. It did, because he did something smart. And Michael knows this throughout the years. Whenever you're involved in a controversy, that old saying about this too shall pass, the smartest people just kind of disappear a little bit. And Kyrie did that in a way. Obviously, he was playing every night.
Right.
But, you know, he wasn't being a jerk. He wasn't being confrontational. I think he knew, you know what, I might be at the end of my rope right here. I got to really get my act together and just go do what I do best, which is basketball. And that's why it's a joy to see, because that's what people are paying for. Like, no one has a problem with Kyrie having interest outside of basketball. I think the problem's always been when it somehow invades his basketball life. That fans enjoy Kyrie Irving because he plays basketball. Whatever he wants to do in his private life, that's fine. But if the two worlds were colliding too often, it was impacting him from a basketball standpoint. The last six weeks, 2 months, it wasn't. He's played as well as any player in the league. And it's funny, I told one of the writers from the Knicks last week, I said, your column off the game should be, if Kyrie Irving played on a one-year contract every year, he would finish top five in the MVP voting probably every year. That's how good he's played. But again, I get it. If I'm Kyrie Irving, if I'm his agent, which I believe is his stepmom, I'm looking at strike it rich this year. If I'm a team, I want the guy on a one-year contract.
Really amazing. Just amazing. Now, I suggested earlier, you know, as crazy as it sounds, the Knicks should kick the tires on it, because that's the kind of player that they're missing. But Stephen A. said, I don't know if you've ever heard this, he said he has heard that they would never make a deal with each other.
Yeah, it's funny, though. So when Kyrie wanted to be traded from Cleveland, one of the teams on his list, believe it or not, was Minnesota. At the time, the coach of Minnesota was Tom Thibodeau. And Tom gets along with Kyrie Irving. I think the national, you know, the U.S. national team had something to do with that. I think Tom's relationship with Mike Krzyzewski might have something to do with that. I think Tom's relationship over the years with Kobe Bryant might have something to do with that. People forget when Kyron came up with his list out of nowhere. Now, Jimmy Butler was also on the team. And clearly, he has a relationship with Jimmy Butler, wanted to play with him. But Minnesota and Tom Thibodeau was one of those teams.
Unbelievable.
That's unreal.
He just he is the gift that keeps giving for people like us, Frank.
Hey, I do. Come on. I'm on the radio 3 hours a day with Brian Scalabrine. You know how much we've talked about Kyrie Irving over the last 3-4 years? It's always something with him. He's a brilliant player. And again, he looked really happy. And this to me is more of a business move on his part, because I think he feels, well, now's the time to strike while the iron is hot. But he's putting all his chips in to say, I want to be traded. We'll see what happens. Deadline's Thursday. I don't know. I don't think
he's also just managed to take that concept of strike while the iron's hot and just permanently lower the temperature on that iron. Like, I don't know if he realized that the iron can only get so hot when you have zero credibility with anyone.
Well, you guys tell me, because my radio partner in the morning is Brian Scalabrine. He's convinced that no one's going to give him more than a 1-year contract. To me, there are 30 teams in the league. It only takes one. No one's going to give him at least a 2-year deal.
You know, I could see him
getting
two.
If I were the Nets, 1 year, $50 million. If I'm Kyrie Irving, that's great money. But you tell me, you think he's only going to get a 1-year deal?
Yeah, but who's going to take the chance? When does it ever end well? I mean, come on.
I agree. And that's the one thing that Kyrie has to be honest about. You know, if you sign him for, say, 3 years, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for that team, because you have to kind of know what's coming. Just look at his history. When he plays and he's committed, he's great. But there's been too much nonsense over the last 3 years. I understand why the Nets are protecting themselves here.
Well, Frank, thank you for taking the time out to Zoom so that everybody could see you on. Yes, very classy, very pro move. Very.
Because let's face it, every guest can do this. He's the only
lazy
one that does.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? Because every night that I'm in the so-called green room, I think they call it the Michael K room up in Stamford, Connecticut, the TV's on, and it only gets one channel. It's the YES Network. So every day that I'm in there, I probably listen to the last 2 hours of your show. I would listen to it on the way up, but I get to watch it.
The truth, though, Frank, it only gets one channel. What other channel would you watch other than this one? So,
well, to be fair, there are nights when there's a game, there's another basketball game on, say, ESPN, so I want to be able to. There's two TVs.
Right.
Only one works, and only one gets the YES Network. There are times when I just want to, just so I could see the other game. It's not. I'm not looking to watch anybody else but you guys. I'm just saying this is when 7:30 rolls around.
Yeah, but are you familiar with the kind of great program? You ever seen the golf show that precedes us sometime? There's a lot of great stuff to watch.
And our guy Bob Lorenz with the Forbes show. The thing that I always notice when you watch on TV, especially when Peter is home in his palatial apartment, is his lighting or his camera. It's phenomenal.
It is. Really, he's got the best
Martin
camera.
Martin Scorsese wants to use that camera. It's amazing.
Canon, they do a tremendous job. Thank you very much. And also, don't forget, Israeli basketball today. What's it called, Michael?
Israeli basketball today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's on YES anymore.
Whoa. Hang on. AC Milan is on there. So you could learn a little Italian as you watch some soccer. And you could also watch, you have Man City. Their highlights are on there too.
Well, thank you for the programming guide, Frank. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend.
Take care, guy. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. Frank Isola, YES Network analyst for the Nets and his own show on Sirius XM NBA Radio. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls. We have a big ENN coming up as well. The Daily Don.
It's the Daily Don, you morons.
An actual fan, though, said to me, why don't you guys change the name to Who You Taking Out, which is a much better name than the Daily Don.
And you know what? Who You Taking Out is Midge.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right, Who You Taking Out is next, right here on YES and 98.7.
See how easy a name change is?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
Who are you taking out?
Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right. Who are you taking out? You know, I saw John Winthrop today. I pinned him against the wall, and I said, you know what? You're not going to tell me what to do.
Wow.
I wouldn't do it on his birthday, but you know what? The day after his birthday, I'll do it. top five most annoying things about Michael Kay.
Oh, wow.
Pinned him right up against the wall, Peter.
Can
and I
go
said,
first,
you don't
Peter?
Tell me what to do.
Is this well, about me?
Sure. We've been waiting all week for this. Go ahead.
That I always complain how sick I am.
Ooh. Thought about
you know
it?
What? Yeah, I did think about it. You know, anybody else would be in ICU.
Right. Iron lung.
Actually, man, I was in iron lung, yeah.
No, it didn't make the top five.
Wow.
It's a good one. It's a good pull. It's a really
There's
good
so
pull.
So many more.
It is annoying, but you know what? Did not make the top five.
How about when Michael says that he has no control over the name of the show?
You know what? I'm not going to go there.
Oh.
Because I don't want to
you know
be
what?
A complainer.
You know what, Michael?
I don't want to make it about me.
Michael, this list is fugazi, as far as I'm concerned.
Then you come up with your own, because I'm sure there's things that annoy you.
Okay, keep going.
But it's a sensitive subject. I don't want to go there. It's not on the list.
All right, this Mike. Has to be on the top five. Maybe it's time for me to go.
Oh, maybe it's time for me to go, Michael. Great poll. It's number one.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been number one last year.
Wow.
But all of a sudden this year, Peter, it's crept up all the way to number one. Because now it's real.
Yeah.
And annoying. It's and, real and real
and really annoying.
Annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's time for me to go is number one.
How about his insistence that let me just say it more generally. His taste in food.
Oh yeah. Well, that's that probably would have been a lot higher in years, but he's branched out. He had bananas back at the Super Bowl in San Francisco. Had a delicious Whopper a couple of years ago, but yeah. His food habits is number three.
Number three.
You know, it's annoying, but it really doesn't bother like us on a daily basis. It's just, it's weird, it's irritating, but you know, it's more on him missing out on all this delicious food.
How about my 10-week suspension during the summer?
Again, hits too close to home. We want to kind of keep this fun. So, no, it did not.
Didn't make it.
Make the list. Mm. It could also fall into the category of maybe it's time for me to go, the way you made it about a suspension and everything, but no. Not on the list. So we've got your eating habits, number three. Maybe it's time for me to go, number one. So we're looking for 2, 4, and 5.
Missing two, Peter.
It actually came into play a little bit today, number two.
It came into play today.
Yeah.
On the call or during the show?
During the show.
How oh, wow. I complain when people don't say happy birthday to me?
No. Oh. That's not. Yeah, you're in the vicinity, but.
So it's him complaining about something.
It's not complaining.
It's not complaining. Can you give me a hint of
who
some
you
sort?
Out? It's something that he admits is a problem.
Oh, something he admits is a problem for himself.
That's why I felt comfortable putting
on
the list.
I'm too sensitive.
Yeah, a little thin-skinned, and yeah. We've had many a segment with examples of that, and I've got it in number two.
Oh, wow.
Because it's something, you know, you got to admit there's a problem, Michael. And
No, it is. It's not
a you're stepping
the
there.
Thing,
so.
The thing that's hurtful is that you're making it out to be a thing, and obviously I need help, but.
Well, you said it.
Yeah.
This is a good suggestion here from Greek. How about his intentional use of unnecessarily smart sounding words?
Well,
it's got to be up there.
I'm going to put that in the category of constantly correcting us.
Okay.
With the way we use words, how we use it wrong, we mispronounce, or like he's always with our grammar, showing off how much he knows.
Yes.
With big words and then constantly correcting us kind of falls in the same subcategory. So I've got that at number five. Constantly correcting us and showing off how smart he is.
Well, I've got one thing to say to Greek, okay?
All right.
One phone call, buddy.
No, no,
I've used
no.
that before, haven't I?
No, Michael, I've been told you should never say that again.
No, because what I really would like is another column about what a bad human being is.
Oh.
Let's see what else. We have one more to go, right?
No, that's
one more
it.
We got number four.
We're number four. Oh.
This is going to really bother Michael, but I think Peter's on board.
Really? It's going to bother Michael. He's not going to like this one bit. He's not supposed to.
Well, they're annoying to you. I don't mind these things at all.
Right.
No, but you'll be upset that we're you'll be upset that it annoys us.
Oh no. But it annoys
me. I drink so much Bigelow tea?
No, I love Bigelow tea. I think you should drink more.
That I don't that though I proselytize about like health things and diets.
No. No, you do. That comes from a good place.
I don't. Can you give me a hint, Don?
Well, this you'll get it when I say this. It sometimes makes you lay out of the show.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
he talks so much baseball.
He's obsessed with baseball.
It's just obsessed, you know, uncomfortable love of the sport of baseball. I've got it number four. We're like randomly in the middle of a conversation. Oh, the Marlins just signed, you know, so.
Yeah. Whereas if I did it for another sport, it would be followed with mocking, embarrassment, you're a disgrace. Well,
it would have been followed with mocking, then during the break a text to me about, do you believe Peter with this garbage?
If I was like, Conor McGregor just pulled out a machine gun in Times Square, he'd be like, what are you saying this for?
Right, but all right, so number one.
Okay.
Maybe it's time for me to go.
Yep.
Number two, a little thin-skinned. Number three, his eating habits. Number four, his just unbelievable love of baseball. And number five, his constant correcting of our grammar and just how much he loves to show off how smart he is.
Who are you taking out?
And that falls into, you know, Fordham making fun of Ramapo, making fun of Maryland. That all falls into that category as well. So hopefully you took it in good fun, Michael, because we love you.
No, I did. But, you know, it is eye-opening. And when you see stuff like that, you realize maybe it is.
Time for you to go.
Number one, time for me to go.
No.
Because I consider you both friends more than coworkers.
Well, and I appreciate that.
And if I annoy my friends like this, it might be time for me to go.
But why can't it just be, you know, all the times I wish somebody would have taken me aside and said, Don, you look horrendous.
Right.
Nobody did, Peter.
I know.
How about that? Nick Swisher wished me a happy birthday.
Really?
I sent the guys a text of somebody who didn't, and they were stunned.
I'm concerned more so than stunned.
I'm not that surprised.
Well, not because there's a senility or anything. It's just that I would be. Is he still with us?
No. The last one I sent you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's in his 30s. I don't think.
What?
That one.
Yeah.
But you sent one before that.
Yeah, I know, but we've let that one go. I think the second one is...
You know what? I honestly, oh, no. You didn't see it, Peter?
I just did.
All right. No. You know what, Michael?
Oh, no.
I think you need to go public with this.
Go ahead. Take it public if you want.
Well, but it's not for me to say.
That's for me to say. It's Ryan Rucca.
Wow. You know what?
That's unbelievable.
That doesn't even upset me. It hurts me.
Right.
What did Howie say during the interview, Michael, when we had Howie Rose on yesterday?
You gotta pay it forward.
Gotta pay it forward.
And nobody haven't has I paid done that forward. With Ryan?
I think
nobody
so.
Has paid it forward more from one person to another. Than Michael K. to Ryan Rucco. And at some point, Peter, that paying forward is going to cost Michael a job.
All right? That's how much he's
and
paid
he still
it
did it.
Yeah.
Because that's the replacement. That's the guy. Wow. And he doesn't even get a happy birthday?
Yeah, I'm a little stunned. A little taken aback.
I mean, I'm sickened by it.
I am too. And hurt.
What
anyway, here's your last
I know he's with child and everything, but come on.
He's not with child.
Well, when you say about it, a guy, you obviously don't think he's pregnant, but he has children and he's married. But you know what? So is everybody else that texts Michael,
right?
Well, Don, you must have said happy birthday to me 15 times. You have twins.
Yeah, well, I just said it to you in person. He doesn't have that luxury, but a text message. Come on.
Here's your last chance to be a part of 98.7 ESPN Superbox Bonanza 2023. Be caller number 55, double nickels. That's what Don's going to become. On February 13th.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.